This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in Take Command Podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. That is Logan Paulson. We got a mailbag for you here on a Tuesday. It was much more fun, Logan, on our old schedule a couple off seasons ago when it was Mailbag Monday. But now this podcast doesn't come out till Tuesday. So it's just Mailbag Tuesday.
Well, we were trying to film it on Monday, right? But we had like some stuff.
Yeah, but we used to actually release the show on Monday.
See, that's how locked in I am.
Yeah, you care about your end of it. You care about the back end. When the folks hear it, you know, you hear it when you hear it. We release twice a week. We actually, speaking of the back end, remind me after we get done recording and talk to you about what we're doing the rest of the week. I don't know what we're recording. This week's crazy. Next week's crazy. The week after is crazy. Logan, we're 2 weeks until the NFL Combine.
Dude, I know it. I'm doing like draft stuff. Like you were a little bit late getting on today because you had to drop somebody off at the train station. But I was like, that's okay because I have to watch about 200 people for the combine. So like, no worries. So
yeah,
we're in it right now. We're in the grind of it here.
Yeah, we'll start getting into some draft and free agency stuff later this week, next week for sure. I mean, we'll touch on it in some of the mailbag questions we have today for sure as well. But Logan and I will both be in Indianapolis, so looking forward to that. We typically do a couple of episodes while we're on site there, so that's always a good time. Speaking of scheduling nightmares, trying to get the big fella to sit down, trying to keep track of you in Indianapolis. You're a man in high demand, but I'll get that straightened out. I'll corral him. I'll corral Logan Paulson. But we're going to start off today before we get to the mailbag with some chatter about the Super Bowl. And Logan, people will be like, oh, what do we learn from the Super Bowl? And I'm like, these two teams have been here. These two teams have been around. Yeah. I don't know that there's a ton we learned specifically from the game. Other than like some stuff that's specific to the game. We talk about the team building stuff. Like I had someone call into the radio show on Monday and say like, well, what does Adam Peters learn from this game? You know, knowing he's got to get past the Eagles. I'm like, nothing. He learned everything he needed to know at the NFC Championship game when his team lost in significant fashion, similar to the Chiefs. But I do think the game itself is interesting. It's not a game that we thought would be a lot closer. Obviously, Eagles just thoroughly dominant. They're clearly the best team in football this year. By the way, the only team to beat them since their Week 5 bye was the Washington Commanders. But they just throttled Kansas City. And I mean that both figuratively and literally. The way that they tightened the screws defensively on them to a level that I didn't think was possible against that offense and specifically that quarterback.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I was watching the game and, you know, I kind of had this expectation going in, like everybody asked, you know, who you got in the Super Bowl? What do you think? And I kind of was like, well, you know, I think it's going to be a one score game, right? They're going to kind of play it out. That's what Philly wants to do. That's what Kansas City wants to do. And if you're giving it on, and if it's a last possession football game, you're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes. But I will say after it was the second three and out or second four and out that Kansas City had, I had this thing in my head that popped up. I was like, oh, they don't get it. they don't get how good Philly's defense is in the back end. They don't understand the speed they're dealing with. They don't understand like the how well coached the back end of that group is. Because again, like everyone's talking about the offensive line, I do think that's a big story, obviously. Like, and I think that's something that you mentioned things to learn. I think that's one of the things to learn is like when you got a guy, let's make sure you got an offensive line to help him out and protect him. But I think the one thing is his time to throw was 3.2 seconds, which is pretty long for Patrick Mahomes. And to me, that's him looking to the first read. It's not there. Everything's dead. And how many times in prepping for Philly this year, the three times we played them, did you just watch a coverage and be like, there is no air here. There's no air. And I wish I could articulate this in a way that showed how impressive that is to the listener. But when you watch defenses, usually you're like, oh, like here's a free runner. Oh, the back's open in the flat. Oh, you can easily get to this dig if you kind of give it a beat. There is zero air. And so that's when I was watching the game. I was like, they don't get it. They're not ready for how good this defense is. And that showed up big time as the game went on. So it literally went from, I think it's going to be a one score game to after the second three and out. I'm like, this might be a blowout. I literally had that thought. I said it to my wife out loud. Like, I just was like, they don't understand how good this group is defensively. And Philly is not going to make a lot of mistakes offensively to let you get back in it. And that's exactly what happened.
They even make the one and it just doesn't matter because
doesn't matter.
You know, by the end. And there's so many points in that game because it's Pat and because it's the Chiefs that you're like, oh, there's the point, the interception. You know, they have this chance, you know, where they get the ball backed up. You're like, oh, Patrick is about to lead them on a 93-yard touchdown drive. They'll get the ball to start the second half, and this thing will be 17-14 before Jalen Hurts touches it again. And instead, Joe Tooney gets bull rushed into Patrick Mahomes' leg. He throws a pick to Zach Bond. Bang, score, 24-0. And the game is basically over at halftime. We enjoy Kendrick Lamar, and then it's just a coronation in the second half. And especially after Philly comes out and like three and out or four and out, whatever it was, and then the dagger to Devontae Smith to make it even more certain that that game was not going to be some historical comeback. Can you remember a point in your career where you played a defense like that, where you watch them on film and you like you know that they're good? Because there's no way Kansas City didn't know that Philly was really good, but just playing against them. Like once you get on the field, you're like, oh, this is not what I thought was going to happen. This is way worse.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind for me, and I was actually talking to Santana about this, and I was like, you know, I haven't seen a defense like this. He's like, what about those old Baltimore defenses? And those old Baltimore defenses felt like that. Like you watched them on film, you saw one thing, and then when you got on the field, like they were just so big and so physical and so fast. And so I think that's a pretty good comparison. I will say it's different. Like, and what I mean by that is, so back, you know, and when was that? 2010, 2011, whenever we were playing Baltimore, and I even miss like peak Baltimore because I think it was the year prior. It was like 2007, maybe, when they were really good or they won that Super Bowl. But I don't remember exactly. But my point is that like they played a lot of single high, eight-man boxes, you know, Ed Reed doing his thing in the back end.
Ed Reed was three people in the back end by himself.
Yeah. And so now, because of how offenses have changed, because how defensive emphasis has changed, like it's literally, Tana had he articulated this really well. It's really like just six dudes in the box. And Vic Fangio's like, you figure it out. And the back end is just there. Like they are just in the zones and the hot spots of the defense. And so, yeah, it feels like that, where you're just like overwhelmed by the speed, the physicality, the playmaking ability. And it's different, obviously, than Baltimore, because those dudes, you know, like Terrell Suggs and Johnson on the other side, and they had these big interior players, you know, Adams and Saragusa and all the, like, it just was different, right? But this is it, like when you're watching it on the sideline, it has that same kind of like, oh, this is just a little, it's like turned up a little bit. And so that's what it reminded me of. And I think when you look statistically at those great Baltimore defenses, I think they're the number one scoring defense maybe of all time with like 17.4. But Philly over the last couple of weeks, or over the last kind of chunk of the season, is like 17.5. Like just to give you an approximation of like where they're at.
Yeah, I think the all-time Ravens defense was like the 2000 team.
When they beat the Giants, right? Is that?
Yeah. Like that team where Trent Dilfer was the Super Bowl winning quarterback, and all due respect to Dilfer, but like, almost any NFL quarterback with a pulse could have been the quarterback of that team. Like, that defense literally gave up, I think it was even, it might have been like 13 a game. Like, it was,
yeah, it was crazy.
A grotesque defense. You have them, you have the 85 Bears, you have the 2013 Seahawks, you have that 2007 Giants team that beats the 18-0, or the, a couple of my friends, we call it the 18-0 Patriots, because they lose the Super Bowl, obviously, but it's that Randy Moss, like, insane offense, and just the pass rush that the Giants have. And I think that's the thing that sticks out in this game is not only do they have dudes in Dejean and Mitchell and Bond and Blankenship and Slay, like, yeah, they got guys that are really fast and really intelligent and really well coached. They also have a lot of them, both in that they have depth and also they blitzed zero times in this game. Literally zero. They had some simulated pressure, so there are some times that they're able to create free runners, which is crazy against, like, you have Pat Mahomes and Creed Humphrey, and you're still getting free runners because you're able to confuse their protection rules enough that Zach Bond is flying, you know, unblocked through the B gap. But then just the fact that you have seven or eight guys in coverage on every snap with that intelligence, with that range, like, that feels, that's how you tighten the screws like that, is like, you just don't have anybody who's overexposed. And not to mention, against the guys like Mahomes, and I actually think Jaden is this way too. Like, we talked about this with Daniels this year. If you blitz, his eyes are going to obviously see that flash of like, oh, that's an extra guy coming. And often there's space vacated behind it. And so if you're fast enough with your release and your processing, blitzes are opportunities. And Mahomes is as good as that, as good at that as anyone. And because they did not give him the opportunities to beat the blitz, he had to just beat coverage. And when you have to beat coverage and the four-man rush is getting home, that's a nightmare. Like, there's just no, I don't know what the offensive fix is for that outside of being like, screw this, we're not going to pass, we're going to run the ball. And Kansas City couldn't really do that either.
Well, I think, you know, not to make this about the Commanders, but I think it's a testament to how well Jaden played in the championship game, especially on those first couple of drives, man. He did a great job, again, finding those tight window throws, being aggressive in man-to-man coverage. And I think it just shows you kind of the mindset you need to have that Dan Quinn brought in, you know, going for it on fourth down. Like, that's what you needed to do versus this team, you know. And I think, again, it's so tight. And the way Zach Bond plays underneath, the way he's able to get into zones, the way he's able to close throwing windows, and it's all married together so well. It's so cinched. Like, and that's why it was so weird watching the second matchup that the Commanders had versus the Eagles, like, where they're able to hit those two explosive plays over the top, because everything had just been so well timed and so well formulated the entire season. And I guess they're allowed a hiccup, and good thing it happened versus the Commanders, but man, like, it's hard to articulate how good they are at playing defense. Like, they are tremendous. And so, I really felt like that Kansas City to understand it. And if you want solutions, like, you have to be able to run the ball a little bit. You need a couple easy buttons. And I think, again, going back to the championship game, like, you're able to run a couple whams, a couple quarterback runs, like, just to kind of keep you on schedule to keep the defense honest. And I think when you look at the LA Rams game, you know, they rushed for over, it was like 115 yards or something like that with the running back there, Kyron Williams. And like, that's a testament to them. That's how you deal with them. But again, they are so talented up front, specifically on the interior of the defensive line and at linebacker with Zach Bond, that most teams just aren't equipped to do that. Like, LA's offensive line is good. Like, when they're healthy, that's a good group. And they understand who they are. They understand how to get downhill. They present different looks in terms of run fits, which is a little bit challenging. And they're willing to die by a 3.5 yard a game kind of carry. I don't think Kansas City was equipped to do that. I think Andy Reid knew that. And I think when he said, oh, we're going to run a ton of RPOs, like, I think about the RPOs that the Commanders ran in the first game on the Thursday night game and in the second game. I've never seen a team defend them so well, right? Even in the championship game, just how quickly they are to get up the field and attack those little bubbles and slants and things like that. So it's, again, I think that This Kansas City team was depleted compared to other Kansas City teams. Like, they're just a little bit banged up on the offensive line. You know, they don't have maybe the offensive playmaking ability that they've had in the years past. But I think it's a huge testament, in my opinion, to Philly and what they've done throughout the year and how they've been coached and how they've executed. Because, like, again, like, that is a really dominant group, and I think that showed up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the Super Bowl.
For sure. And it also shows you just how, you know, quality drafting, it, both immediately and in the long term, like, can just change the trajectory of your franchise. Because like, both these teams are great, right? Like, they're both really good rosters. The Eagles are the best roster in the league for sure, like, hands down. They might be one of the best, you know, 1-53s that we've had. I can't even think of a team that was this talented.
Yeah, like, the one that came to mind earlier was the that Ravens team that won the Super Bowl in 2000. Like, that, their offensive line was amazing. They had good speed on the outside. They had a good running back. I think they had a 2,000-yard rusher that season. And their defense was, it feels like that. You know what I mean? Like, just when you're like, oh, there's dudes everywhere. So.
Yeah, 100%. And there's just, and like, obviously, Jalen is a lot better than Trent Dilfer. Man, Trent Dilfer's taking bullets in this one. Sorry, Trent.
But I'm not saying that. But yeah, I'm saying, like, in terms of,
it's, top to bottom and at the most important position. Like, we've talked about it. Jalen is, Is he the best pocket passer processor in the league? No, but he does basically everything else well. He's in great command at the line of scrimmage. His leadership skills are A+. Like, there's so much stuff that he does, and his accuracy, and specifically his deep ball accuracy. So, like, sure, he might not hit the quick hook, you know, as fast as Jaden Daniels or Patrick Mahomes, but like, he'll hit the deep ball as well as those guys, and he's got the dudes on the outside to make that a bigger part of their offense. So
yeah, and I think that that's a great point too, and it's good to give context to his performance. Like, it took him, I mean, Kim said this on our podcast, 3.7 seconds to throw the football. The average is 3.4 in the NFL. So obviously, like, they understand who he is and what he wants to do. They're going to get the best pass protecting offensive line in football, best offensive line in football, period. They let him be him. You know, so like, first completion to Devontae Smith, like, Devontae's open on the corner, but he like doesn't read it out well. He pulls it down. He kind of loses a little bit of ground, scrambles to his right, and then makes the completion. So the ball got where it needed to go. It just didn't happen in the way that, you know, Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow would get that done. So I think that that's, again, like, you've built a team to support the quarterback, much like the Detroit Lions have built a team to support Jared Goff, right? Like, that's good. When you don't have a top shelf guy, you need to understand what their weaknesses are and then kind of fill in around that so that they don't have to be in their weaknesses all the time. And Philadelphia, because how talented they are offensively, have done that perfectly. So, you know, talk about something else to learn from Philly. And again, this is like, this is a hard to kind of navigate because they've hit on their last, what is it? Their first, second and third round picks for the last 4 years are all starting contributing members to the team, which is insane. So yeah, do that, but you know, fill in the roster to maximize your best players, specifically the quarterback.
For sure. And to finish what I was saying, we've brought it all the way back around, is the Chiefs didn't not address some of their weaknesses. They tried, but between injuries, stupidity, and bad drafting, they've got holes. And so, you know, they've been trying to fix receiver since they traded Tyreek. They look like they had someone in Rashee Rice, and he was a dope all offseason and then got hurt. So there's your receiver problem. They've got a guy that, you know, assuming that all his legal stuff plays out and he heals his ACL, he'll be back next year. And that helps them tremendously. They tried to address offensive line. They, in the third round 2 years ago and in the first round last, or sorry, second round last year, they took left tackles. Neither one of them was any good to start. And maybe Sua Matia winds up being really good. Like, he was super young, super raw, and there was some stuff where you're wondering, like, how mature is he coming into this? But he's so talented that you wonder if 2 years from now is that no longer looked at as a bust. But like, for this year, it didn't help them out. And so they have this hole at left tackle. You know, on down the list, like, they've tried to address their needs, but you have like two bad quote unquote drafts in a row. And you go from the two-time defending champion to getting housed in the Super Bowl by a team that didn't miss for 3 years in a row. Like, that,
And bad is relative, too. Like, Xavier Worthy's been a hit for them, I would say. He's going to be a good player. But then you have Sua Matia in the second round. And then you look at the linebackers they've drafted who have all hit over the last couple of years, but they've been later round picks. And so it's just like, that's what drafting is. I think it's probably, I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels like it's between like a 35 and a 40% hit rate is a good draft. But like, the Eagles are way on the other end of variance.
They're like
there.
80%. It's stupid.
Yeah. It's crazy. And they've made good moves and they made smart decisions. So I'm not like detracting.
Well, and they get lucky
that.
with a guy like Bond too, to where he goes from a guy who's a mediocre to bad outside linebacker, and he's defensive player of the year candidate. Like, finalist, he's in the montage of the NFL honors for defensive player of the year as inside linebacker. So like, there's an element of luck, coaching, scouting. Like, they just had it all come together. And like, I think the good news is that I don't think that they're going to be better next year. They might be close to as good, which is terrifying. But like, Milton Williams is going to go get paid in free agency, so they'll be a little worse along the line. Josh Sweat is probably going to get paid in free agency. But also, I think it's hilarious that their big offseason signing was Bryce Huff. He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl. Yeah. They paid Devin White twice as much as Zach Bond. Devin, I don't even know if he's still on the team. I don't know if he made it out of training camp.
He got cut. Yeah. Like, week five or six. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, we'll see what they do, because obviously these guys are so young. I think they're the third youngest roster in the league, that a lot of these guys are going to come back and better. Like, Mitchell will somehow be better. DeJean will be better. Carter, God forbid, if he is better. But they will not have the depth, I think, next year, because they're going to now have to, like, Bond was on a one-year, $1.5 million deal, I think it was.
Like, same with Mekhi Becton, though, too. Yeah, like, those Becton types of guys are, they're going to get paid for sure.
They're going to get paid, and it's the same question that Washington has, right? Which we'll get to here in a second. Like, they now have to make choices of like, okay, you guys crushed it. Now curse the Super Bowl. How many guys do you want to bring back and get paid? If I'm Philly, like, I'm paying Zach Bond a lot of money to keep him around, but like, what does that mean for the rest of my roster? And so that's, I think, the hope for the rest of the NFC is they're not going to be quite as deep. And I will say this too, Philly, from a health standpoint, had a pretty easy year, and that is hard to repeat in the NFL. And so I'm not wishing ill will or ill health on any other players, obviously, but you know, this is all before everyone's like, oh my god, the Eagles are going to run the NFL for the next 5 years. It's like, the chances that this confluence of circumstances comes together again like this is slim. I also don't know that I put anybody ahead of them as favorites for 2025.
I mean, I'd probably put Kansas City ahead of them because they got a better quarterback, but that's besides the point.
Kansas City's got a lot of questions, though, too.
Yeah, it's true. And like, I think they have the most people like leaving in free agency or up for free agent contracts.
Kansas City, by the way, the only team with more or fewer players under contract than Washington. So that's certainly something we're going to be talking about a lot.
But I do think you look at Mekhi Becton, he's playing at a Pro Bowl caliber year on a on like $1 million, which is crazy for an offensive lineman, right? Zach Bond, like to get his level of like, again, we talked about the defense. Like to me, he might be the number one driver of their success, like on defense. And so he's probably going to go, right? He should go if I was him, right? If
or he'll stay because they'll pay him like he went.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I think, but don't like think about like big subtractions possibly from the defense and from the offense. Like I like Tyler Steen a lot, their backup right guard, but he didn't play as well as Mekhi Becton did this year. And I don't think he ever will because Mekhi Becton's like one of one freak in the NFL, right? So those are the types of decisions that again, they just kind of put dents in the armor. You know what I mean? And that's what's been happening to Kansas City for the last 4 years is you kind of get a little sluggish drafting, your free agent hits don't hit exactly right. And you look at New Orleans back, they had that really excellent draft where they drafted kind of like five future Hall of Famers and you're like, oh, damn. And then they're good, good, good. Then they're not good. And it's like because you didn't hit consistently. That's the thing about the draft. That's the thing about free agency is it's hard to be consistent for a long periods of time. And I think to your point, those are like the luckiest free agent signings of all time. You take an on-ball linebacker, you put him at off-ball, and he becomes like one of the best linebackers in football. You take a retread guard who plays at a Pro Bowl level. Like, those things just don't happen consistently.
Yeah, you haven't missed on. That's nice to what Mekhi Becton has been. You take a failed tackle.
Yeah.
And make him into a Pro Bowl guard.
And then you've hit on all of your picks for the last 4 years of the first three. Like, what? Like, so Fred was saying, like, you know, we were talking about which is easier to find the all-star quarterback or do what Philly did. Like, find your top five quarterback or do what Philly did. And statistically, I would say it's harder to do what Philly did. And we know how hard it is to find it, like a generational quarterback. Because think about it. You're rolling dice, right? And you got to hit sevens on four defensive linemen, which they did. You got to hit sevens on a linebacker that no one thought was going to hit. You got to hit sevens on five secondary players, five offensive linemen, two receivers, a tight end, and a running back. Are you kidding me? Like, it just seems impossible to do that consistently. So in terms of, like, which is easier, we know how hard it is to find a quarterback. Like, what they did with the roster is probably the hardest thing I've ever – like, it's statistically like almost impossible to do. So I do think there will be a regression from them. I think they're still very, very good, obviously, but I think there'll be a little bit of a regression.
They do have a ton of their guys under contract though, and their cap table's stupid. The way they've structured these contracts, like guys for next year, the cap number they have is so small for a lot of these guys. Now
they're all rookies, a lot of them on their rookie deals. Like Jalen Carter's on his rookie deal. You know,
I'm talking about the vets. Like the way that they structured these guys is crazy. Let me see if I can pull it up. This is 26. Let's see. Oh, but it's the base salary numbers. Like the base salary numbers next year, the cap hits are a little bit higher, obviously, because signing bonuses, options, whatever. But like here's the base salaries for next year. Jalen Hurts, 1.17. AJ Brown, 1.17. Lane Johnson, 1.2. Mailata, 1.17. Slay, 1.2. Goddard, 1.2. Devontae Smith, 1.17. Barkley, 1.6. Landon Dickerson, 1.17. Then you get down to Jalen Carter's next on the list, 1.03, because he's on his rookie deal. But that's the guys in order of cap hits and their base salary. Now, the cap numbers, Jalen's 21, AJ's 17, Lane's 17, on down the list. But still, those are not bad numbers. 26 is where some of it comes due, where Jalen's got is it 26 or 27? 27, Hurts is going to count like $41 million towards the cap. And then 2029, you have a $97 million cap hit for Jalen Hurts. So obviously, you'll be restructuring before then. they've been able to push some of this money later in the cap. Like in 2029, Jordan Mailata has got a base salary of $50 million and a $35 million cap number. I don't even know how that works. Yeah. But that according to Over the Cap. So like they've done some creative structuring, and I think that's another lesson too. Like that takes some cash from the owner to be able to do some of this stuff, to pay guys up front and have the contracts work the way they're working, which gives you flexibility year over year. And so that's something that certainly I'm sure Adam Peters has gone to Josh Harris and been like, hey, So this is how Philly's able to do this from a structure standpoint. Let's copy that. And so that's something that I think you can take as well. But it's going to be a fun offseason, which brings us to our mailbag.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.